Jackson trying to escape and run for it, and he's got it more. Lamar Jackson down the sideline. Will they give it to him? They will. Touchdown, Baltimore.
And with 1:17 left to play on Wild Card Weekend, the Hayes in the Barn.
Oh my God! I wish you guys could. I wish we had a camera in here so you could see what we're doing. We're just a bunch of clowns in here.
How much fun is that?
Welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Sunday night on October 17th, 2021. You might be listening to this on Monday morning, which means that it's another victory Monday. Baltimore Ravens get the win 34-6 over the San Diego / Los Angeles / who could say Chargers. Justin Herbert and the boys, Brandon Staley, Mr. OK coming to town. Taking the big fat L after a big run up, let's just say it, a lot of hype heading into this game. Was it unwarranted? Maybe not, but it certainly looks that way right now. And I'm joined on my screen by a very, let's say, Jebby man. He's very Jebby. He's had a long day, and I want him to describe in detail what his day has been like up to this point. It's Spencer Nathaniel Schultz. How's it going, bud?
Down bad. I'm gonna say the end and then go back to the beginning. One of those Matthew McConaughey kind of stories.
All right.
And so basically it got to the point where I was like, I have to bet money on the Chargers. I'm in the state of Virginia driving, and I wasn't sure if you can bet in Virginia or not. So I was like, I'm going to have to bet $100 on the Chargers to emotionally hedge myself, because I was down so bad that if the Ravens lost this game, I would be emotionally crippled for the day. Now, going back to the beginning, I go to Raleigh, North Carolina for a wedding. Fun town, fun place, fun wedding, whatever. Cried twice during, didn't cry during the ceremony, cried at the reception.
That's good. That's an emotional workout.
Emotional workout, yeah. I cry probably like once every month or two at least, I'd say. I'm a crier a little bit.
Me too.
So I go to all that, have fun, whatever. The options for the flights to come back to Baltimore today from Raleigh-Durham was either a 5:15 flight, a 5:45 flight in the morning, or 10:10. So I was like, I'm taking the 5:45. I'm not trying to deal with getting back at, 11:45, being at BWI. Want to get a little tailgate in, want to, enjoy the day. It's October. It's supposed to be nice weather, probably. Doesn't usually rain a ton around this time, even though it can. So I was like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. Just won't drink too heavily the, night before, whatever. We leave the wedding and go to the bars just for like 20 minutes after the wedding. I was like, whatever. We don't even need to be here. We're not like, the best friends of the people that, we're not in the party or anything. So go back. I, pack all my stuff up in the hotel, put on a little bit of You season 3. I have my bags fully packed, my suit packed, everything zipped, closed, shut, outfit for the next day on my body. And I wake up at 5:45 a.m. Alarm not set. Did not hit alarm on. Actually. So I said, oh, well, I have to rent a car and drive. Called Southwest. No other flights available. So I go to whatever the hell it's called, the one with the A word, Avis, and pick up a little Jeep Compass, and I start my trek, and I end up driving very fast, especially through North Carolina. I subsequently get a speeding ticket in Virginia, and everyone's like, you can't drive. I know. I was pushing fate. Everybody knows you can't drive fast in Virginia, especially Southern Virginia. Once you hit that, my mind is not broken. What is the town in the middle of Virginia? The big, nice Richmond.
Richmond, yeah.
Once you hit Richmond, you're good. That's the rule of thumb. Below Richmond, you're done. And so I got cooked. The gentleman, the police officer, was nice enough. He comes up to the window. I have the car turned off, the hazards on. I have my license in my left hand, which is placed on top of the steering wheel. I have the registration for the rental car in my right hand, which is placed on top of the steering wheel. Roll the window down. I'm sitting there. He comes up and says, "Do you know why I stopped you?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do. I was speeding." And he said, "Yes, you were." And I said, "I'm very sorry about that. I apologize." I said, "Can I have your license registration? Here you go." He said, "Hang tight." Classic. And taps the car, walks back, comes back 2 minutes later. He said, "I bumped you down to, I was going probably, going pretty fast there."
Fuck ESPN.com. Continue.
I was going probably about 92 when he got me, I think. And he said, "I bumped you down to above 80, which is the lowest one we have." I said, "Thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate it." And he said, "Drive safe." Cost myself about probably like 7 minutes in the end. So do that. Then I made the boneheaded decision in the end. There's many parts of the story, but I'll have to revisit. I'm too tired, but I made the bonehead decision. I'm supposed to get to BWI, or excuse me, I was supposed to get to M&T Bank Stadium on the GPS. It said about 12:22. So I'm driving for a while. I'm thinking to myself, okay. Well, what if I just stop at BWI and drop this car off real quick? Car's parked at BWI, so I can just, you know, do a little diddle daddle real quick. Maybe it takes 5-10 minutes, drop the car off. You know, I think I should be good. I call Avis, talk to him on the phone, and I was like, "Hey, you know, how long does it take to drop this car off?" And the guy said, "No, no time, like a couple minutes." I was like, "Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure. I'm in a rush." He was like, "Oh yeah, you'll be fine." So at BWI, the daily parking is about 25 minutes from Avis. Avis is two fucking towns away. And I had no idea. That was the missing link. So I got there at like 12:17. I got out at 12:50. And I'm at BWI. So I made it from there, from 12:50 to at my seat in the stadium at 1:15 on the dot. So it was the great adventure, the great voyage. I feel like homeward bound. I'm a little lost puppy this day. You know, I cussed all day. I, you know, laughed at myself. I went through the full psychotic, bipolar, schizophrenic range of emotions. The seven stages of whatever, acceptance, whatever the hell it is, all that stuff happened. So just thank you, Lamar Jackson. Thank you, Ravens defense, Wink Martindale. You know, I really needed this one. I didn't end up placing the bet. I didn't place the bet. Didn't do it. I couldn't.
But your Chargers pick did come through because Mike Williams was sat fairly early on in the process here.
He got hurt, right?
Yes. So I
ended up flop flipping because once I saw that Drew Tranquil and Nasir Adderley were out, I thought they're going to be able to run the ball. So tally sight. I changed once I saw that.
So this is a little scummy because you said it was contingent upon Mike Williams playing or not, and he played.
I just didn't. I thought that Tranquil and Adderley were both going to play too. But yeah, I suck. I'm the worst. Whatever. That's fine. I'll take an L. Whatever. I don't care.
No, it's okay. Listen, you're not. You don't suck. You're not the worst. I gotta listen. We have to hold you honest here.
Yeah, well, I said that, and then
if the police of Virginia,
I also said it's really hard to pick Sunday games on Thursday because we don't know the injury report.
If the police of Virginia are not going to hold you honest, I've got to do it.
They're going to hold me honest. I don't know what to do. This is what I need listeners to do. Can you leave a review or something on Twitter or on Instagram or on the reviews on Apple? Like, should I go? Like, is it worth it? I'm probably going to get a point or two on my license. Like I haven't gotten a speeding ticket since I was 17. Like I've never gotten a ticket. And is it like my insurance going to go up? Like what's going to happen here? Do I need to go to Virginia and like deal with this?
It depends. Probably, like, if you very fine. Clearly were speeding and it's just whatever, maybe you just pay it off and just move forward.
I'm hoping this is my like ideal dream scenario. I played out in my head in the car is like that. I get to zoom in to defend myself. And I would like to accept guilt and see if I could pay an increased fine or maybe do like 10 hours of community service or something instead of getting points on my license, if that is possible, and offer an alternative for myself if they don't accept that. That would be ideal. I don't really want to drive down there. It's very far, and I don't want to go there again. It's actually in Dinwiddie, Virginia is where I got the ticket, which is ironic because Spencer Dinwiddie, Wizard sign. So there's a little irony there. Just some off the cuff thoughts that went through my mind while I'm driving through the good old state of Virginia. Beautiful state, Mr. Your Honor.
As overall Jebby as you are right now, just a great, tremendous all-time Twitter performance by you this morning, I gotta say. And group chat performance. I think I woke up to that that group chat of you saying you were gonna have to make the drive, and I was following along with aplomb because I was very excited by this whole storyline. And you kind of flying by the seat of your pants and then getting pulled over. That was quite a development. You had another situation with the a restroom, which, you know, you can choose to pursue that.
I don't know. I'm not gonna comment.
That's on your Twitter. If listeners want to go find it, they can find it.
That's true. But not gonna comment. Maybe that was just a funny joke I told. I'm a comedian. Haha. Maybe that didn't happen.
Yeah, you are. But
Your Honor.
Yes, you did get there.
Your Honor, this is a joke that I'm gonna tell. You can't sue Dave Chappelle for a joke he tells. I'm telling a joke. This is all made up.
It's satire.
Your Honor, I definitely didn't have to go poop in a women's bathroom today. And there definitely was toilet paper in the first toilet. And Your Honor, I definitely didn't walk bare-assed across a women's bathroom in a Royal Farms in Virginia with poo in my butt after getting a ticket, after missing my flight. Your Honor, thank you so much, Your Venerable Highness.
Well, that worked itself out. So that was another fun development of it that may or may not have happened. Were you in your seat by the time Latavius Murray had scored his first touchdown, or did you see that?
I saw that.
So you were
fine. I got to my seat during the Ravens' first drive. And I had a beer for me and my mom at 1:15 in my hand.
So you were fine.
I'm fine. I'm just tired. Just tired.
Yeah.
Just tired. Had to pay a little more money.
Listen, for sure. But it worked
the win,
out.
Cody here in the comments. Yep. The win cured it all. I couldn't. It's not even like. It's the fear of losing. Like, that's what you always hear. Like, that's like the classic coach speak. It's like, they don't like to win. They hate to lose. I couldn't deal with losing today. I couldn't. The win was great, sure, but the loss would have been so much more intense than the win was.
You know what? I had a pretty fantastic weekend. I got to go play Renditions Golf Course in Southern Maryland, which is a really, really interesting.
Yeah, you seem all smitten over there.
I was smitten. It was cool. It's kind of does the different, you know, renditions, if you will, of different really famous courses and holes and stuff like that. So that was great. I had a fun time and didn't really drink too much or anything like that. Didn't really get into it. I did high tops on Friday night, very low key with a couple close friends, and just played out the string until Sunday today. And it worked out very well today because it was a calm, comfortable, easy win for the Ravens. This was the first Ravens game that I've attended with my dad in like probably 2 to 3 years. He, myself, and my brother got to attend. We sat in one of the end zones, and just a great time, just a comfortable thing. You know, it was one of those things where I went into it, and I picked the Ravens to win. I was obviously very fearful of a loss because the Chargers are very talented roster. Justin Herbert playing out of his mind. Whatever.
They're the hot, shiny thing right now.
They are the hot, shiny thing. And, you know, it's you got that thought in the back of your mind. But I was confident the Ravens would be able to pull it out in some sort of fashion. I didn't know it was going to be in the fashion that it was in. And just the fact that it was like we've been joking about the needing a nice, comfortable win for the nerves, the sciatica, as it were. That was this today. And, couldn't have been any better. What a fun game.
It was. It was a really nice game. And it was just relax. It was a party. It turned into a party in the stadium. That's how the last couple games have been. And I think a lot of it has to do with the confidence that the fan base has in this team. And especially after that, you know, Chiefs comeback win, you could, you know, feel the air come out of the stadium just a little bit in that one. But I think the fans did a good job. And once the Ravens scored the first touchdown, you know, it started to get a little more music being played, a little more rocking and rolling. And then that second one, it just turned into a straight up party. And I think the Ravens win a lot of games when it goes that way. And the fans get into it. The team gets into it. You know, the stadium experience team gets into it with the music choices and things like that. And I think the Ravens are a really tough team to beat in Baltimore right now.
Yeah, it was interesting. I thought the offense set the tone at first because it seemed like they had and we talked about this before we get before the game, what the deal was going to be as far as the Ravens rushing the ball, because they've had difficulties doing that so far. And to me, I was saying, like, it looks, it smells like opportunity to me. ESPN.com can absolutely suck a dick. Please stop playing. Please stop. Thank you. It smelled like opportunity was my thought going into it, because 31st in rushing DVOA for the Chargers defense. Ravens had done a decent job at times with rushing the football, so maybe this was going to be a chance to do so. So they do that, and they get the quick passing game going, and that really helps them do what they have to do to move the ball at first. And it just felt like Justin Herbert did not touch the ball at all in the first half. And the few times that he did, they're stalling out, and they're trying, like, they get into these, need the first down situations, and they're trying, I think, like Mike Williams and Jared Cook against Marlon Humphrey one-on-one. And they're just not working out. And the defense really stepped up. Offense did what they had to do. And to my point there originally, especially in the first half, just moving the ball, chunking it on the ground, getting those short passes going, and just absolutely killing the clock and keeping Justin Herbert off the field. Just a complete team win. Offense really leading the way in the first half, and then defense closing it out in the second half, I think.
For sure. And Ravens ran for 187 yards. A lot of that was just, chewing up clock. I think there, you can probably go to a certain threshold where they had maybe a 2 or 3 score lead in the second half, and there weren't a ton of explosive runs. So definitely that 4.9 yards per carry doesn't quite do justice. There's Football Outsiders does that success rate, which I believe is 60% of yards to gain on first down, 80 on second, and converting on third or fourth. And I bet if you look, when that game was relatively within reach for the Chargers, Ravens were really successful running the ball. They converted a lot of short power situations, third or fourth and short. And I thought the backs were outstanding. I thought Lamar, classic box score doesn't do justice when you look at his stats today. Bateman has, if you've been with us, we talked about what Bateman's one little Achilles heel is. And it's not even an Achilles heel, because it's just he has a very high volatility trait or mindset, and it is that he likes to run through the catch, and when he catches it, he will crush your angle and can take it the distance, but he drops it because he's moving full speed. He doesn't slow and reel the ball in and secure it. So you're gonna live and die a little bit with those, and that was the one thing. And So that was a funny thing. So you look at those picks, the other one where he tried to throw it to Bateman. It's funny they had two interceptions thrown to Bateman, because it just, neither of them were anything like that bad at all. The other one, Lamar simply didn't see the rat defender, that, little dude sitting over the middle of the field. And he could have kind of floated the ball to Bateman and let him up the sideline. But instead, he tried to zip one in and hit him quick and got picked.
Yeah, that was definitely an interesting one, because that was the one where the Chargers were driving. I believe it was 17-0 maybe at that point, and Herbert throws the interception to Sean Elliott, and it's like, oh god, like they're really gonna have a chance to run away with this thing. Literally the very first play after the Elliott interception, Lamar drops back, Bateman, he is pretty much open other than the rat defender, to your point there, and Lamar just throws it right to the guy. That was it was a little deflating, but I don't know, man, it didn't completely take the air out of the ball for me, because I was like, I'm not really seeing much out of this Chargers offense. And I think they had the Jared Cook touchdown after that, but obviously they didn't score the rest of the day. And it just felt like it wasn't there with Justin Herbert. Like, he wasn't getting out of the pocket in the way that he does. He wasn't, getting the ball down the field in the way that he does. And the receivers weren't really showing up either. Like, Jared Cook was not having some of the contested catches that he probably needed to have in the situations that they were setting him up in. I saw nothing out of Keenan Allen. And
Herbert wasn't good or great, but he definitely wasn't that bad.
No, not at all. He just, like, it, there was nothing there for, like, there was no setup for him to succeed. And Austin Eckler, we talked a lot about Austin Eckler in the preview, about a guy who could run through this defense that was having tackling issues. I saw a comment here over here about, is this a get-right game for the defense? I don't know about that, but they tackled like they needed to. They tackled Austin Eckler like they needed to, and that was a big concern. He didn't really have a big game today. There were a few instances where it's like, okay, maybe he's going to break one, but it doesn't really matter. Like, it just felt like nothing the Chargers offense did mattered, because it just felt like every drive they had to really do something or the game was going to get out of reach, and they were never able to capitalize on anything. Like, they would drive, and then they would get into a third down situation, then they would get into a fourth down. Maybe they'd go for it, maybe they'd punt, whatever, but then they would just, Ravens offense would wind up with the ball, and they'd probably kick a field goal and go up another X amount of points on them. And it just didn't feel like the Chargers really had ever had much of a chance today.
No, and you made a lot of great points there. The difficulty for the Chargers, to me, looking back, felt like, you mentioned Eckler is a great player, and I don't think he had an awful day or anything, but the Chargers just don't have a lot other than him in like the yak or the speed department. And the Ravens are really fast. So when they play calm, they let, you know, they break down, they wait for the cavalry to come help with tackles, you know, they take good angles. This Ravens defense doesn't have to be how good they were today. They don't even have to be that good. They don't need to consistently get pressure all the time.
They're not going
to
be, I don't think.
They don't need to break up every pass. You know, they can break a little bit more with the way that Lamar's playing, the way this offense is playing, and the weapons they have. And they were outstanding. Ravens defense was outstanding. So I think a lot of that was a result of this secondary also being the most healthy that they've been this season. I think at this point we started to see, I'm going to knock on wood here, but we started to see Tavon and Jimmy Smith able to get their legs under them really well. And Deshaun Elliott comes back, plays well. And you have made good progress with Brandon Stevens, who had a strong day, it felt like, again today. I haven't been able to rewatch and, you know, maybe whatever, but it felt like he had a strong day. So now you're starting to have a little bit of depth back in the secondary, and that unit is smart. They have a wide range of bodies, skill sets. They're good blitzers. They're good tacklers for the most part. I'd say that's the tackling strength of the defense is probably the DBs, you know, and considering like how good DBs are around the NFL versus the Ravens. So that secondary definitely had a great game. And we got Cody McGowan talking about the offense here a little bit of the Freeman game. I chickened out. I was a chicken shit. I didn't sign Freeman off of waivers in a 10-man league, and I put in A.J. Dillon instead, and I'm losing. I think I might have lost me the game that I didn't do that. I chickened out at like 12, like driving, like running around crazy. I was like, should I just do it? Didn't do it. Chickened out. But we got Ramey in here. Yep, safety's played a hell of a game. DB's played a hell of a game. Justin Houston felt like he had a good game. It was a really fun performance overall. Calais Campbell, they're still going to get Derek Wolfe back at some point. This defense, it was scary when Patrick Queen went down. Josh Bynes, probably the MVP of the game, the Nickelodeon valuable player. He comes in and just provided a really calm presence. And I felt like he probably helped the entire defense pre-snap a ton, which is probably the thing that I overlooked in what could have helped. I was not huge on the idea of Bynes playing a lot of snaps. So definitely a miss by me, but it felt like he came in, had the alignments right, had the linebackers at good depth, probably had the line at the right, you know, gaps and fronts and shit like that. So it was a really good game. I think Josh Bynes helped a lot. It just felt like they were very calm and confident, and they, they made plays all game long.
Yeah, they definitely did. Like, it just felt like a very complete performance, one that they needed. And we haven't gotten some comments about it. Yes, I am a big dogfish guy. By the way, I had a couple of the tall ones at the stadium. I didn't know they sold the tall ones. So I ordered two of them, one for my dad and my brother to share and one for myself. And they were tall. And it worked out well. They were really good. But had a couple in the fridge as well. So indulging in one here after the victory. But the defense, back to that point, we had not seen the complete performance from them that we needed to, and this kind of solidified it for me. And I think what it does for me is, like, it's not going to look necessarily this good again, in my opinion, but, like, for the people that were concerned about the way that they looked against the Colts, I was never really thinking, like, oh, wow, they're going to look as bad as they looked against the Colts next week, even against the Chargers. Like, I thought they would look better today than they did last week. It obviously went beyond my wildest dreams with today's performance, because they were very good. But I think there is going to be a nice middle ground, and I think they're trending back towards what they're going to look like for the rest of the year. And I think ultimately what we've been seeing with the defense, and with, to a lot of people's trepidation about what they've been doing with the running back room and some of the experimentation they've done on offense, I think ultimately they've just kind of been messing around before they go into the bye week. They've just been playing a little bit of Tetris with this roster and seeing what works and what doesn't and what is going to carry them through a 17-game schedule, because it's going to be a grind. It's always a grind, but you got another game now. It's going to be even more of a grind in a tough division with a tough Cincinnati Bengals team, a tough Cleveland Browns team. Steelers aren't going to be a pushover either. You know, you're just going to have to figure out what works. And they're 5-1 heading into one more game before the bye week. Then you take the bye week, and then you ride it through the rest of the year. You figure out what works for you, and you go from there, and that's kind of your second starting point. And I think they have a pretty damn good idea of what they're going to want to do and what they're not going to. So let's see what this this Bengals game next week gives them and go from there, I guess.
Spot on. And I think that this Ravens coaching staff, they really, really have been able to self-scout, and they're not stubborn this year. Wink didn't blitz Mahomes. For instance, we see Roman today. My biggest gripe that I've had with Roman, everybody knows I'm a big Roman guy. I might be as big of a Roman guy as there is. And the number one thing that's really irritated me is when they're in these short yardage situations or at the goal line and they go into pistol or shotgun every time. You're increasing the distance that the ball needs to go without needing to. And we see them do a QB sneak. Lamar gets that done. Like, we see all of these things. They've been able to drop their, I don't want to call it ego, but they've been able to just be self-aware and take those things in consideration. So I think what I'm trying to do is build off of your point that they've been able to be really efficient and take these injuries in stride and things of that nature. And they are the most malleable coaching staff I can think of right now in terms of, like, this isn't working, so let's stop doing it. Whereas, for instance, you know, last year, the thing that we would go crazy about was, like, Mark Ingram running the ball on first down. And it was like 2 months of Mark Ingram running the ball on first down, never working. He averaged like 2 yards a carry. They only threw the ball a few times when he was in there on first down. It was like a 83% of the time they were running the ball. It's like, that is very easy to key a defense in on. And I don't think there's a lot of things like that. The other thing play calling wise was interesting to me today was just how purely aggressive the Ravens stayed in the pass game, despite a really positive game script. And despite, you know, the leads they had and some of those things, and that not only is just the play caller in Roman, but Lamar then also continued to push the ball. And I don't know that it was ultimately that successful as opposed to trying to run the clock out a few times. But guess what? They wanted to step on their throat, so they tried to. And that's a process-based thinking. They're not going to let the Chargers back in that game. They're not just going to keep trying to hand the ball to the Chargers. And should they have run the ball more? We could definitely, if you want to say that, I can absolutely hear that. I don't think anybody's going to, I'm sure there was probably thousands of people in that stadium today that were saying, why are they throwing the ball? They should just run it, all that stuff. So, you know, could they have? Absolutely. I see your point if that's what you want to say, but it was just interesting. And I think that this coaching staff, this team is so into that. And I don't know, just kind of leaking through after the game and you see, like, and of course after a win, it's always great. And after a big win, it's even better. But you see, like, Sean Elliott just tweeting with James Prochet and saying, like, calling him like his hands coach. And it just feels like this team is so unselfish and they're just straight up about fucking football. Like, they just want to win. This team, above any other team that I can remember, just wants to win. There's not a bunch of media crap. There's not a bunch of, you know, bullshit going on the side anywhere. There's no distractions. They had a tumultuous camp and got out of that. And that's in freaking Dinwiddie, Virginia right now. That's in the rearview mirror. So I think they're doing a great job. I think that the coaching staff has done a great job. And obviously Lamar.
Yeah. To that psychological point, it's almost like, you know, there's some Ewing theory stuff going on maybe a little bit where it's like Peters is out of the picture. JK is out of the picture. Gus is out of the picture. LJ Ford out of the picture. Ronnie Stanley,
Boyle, freaking all of them.
Yeah. It's like, and these guys are, you know, these guys behind them, they're not all pros, but they're damn talented, a lot of them. And do you think that they're just going to lay down and say, ah, fuck it, well, we lost these guys and we're just going to, you know, we're going to throw the towel in? No, the fuck they're not. And not with this coaching staff, not with John Harbaugh, and guess what? Not with Lamar Jackson. What you
right,
have Lamar,
that's the magic stuff right now.
You have Lamar Jackson, you can win any single game ever. Like, it reminds me of something Jerry Rice used to say about Joe Montana. Like, you can have any, you could have the Dallas Cowboys defense in the late 80s. You can have whatever you want. We got Joe. We got Lamar. Like, we'll win any game. We can win any game we want to. And, like,
1,000%.
There's belief in him. There's belief in turn in themselves amongst these players. And it shows through with these depth guys, with James Prochet stepping up. Should have even had a bigger game than he did with kind of getting missed on that before the half play, which was unfortunate. Lamar was, I thought he played really well. He was a step late on a couple plays. Obviously, he had the two picks. It's a little misleading, but it is what it is. Overall, really good game from him. Good game by these receivers, even missing Sammy Watkins. I think I tweeted out that Bateman actually playing the Watkins role a little bit today, just kind of getting first down and do what he had to do, and he looked really good.
Well, think about it. That's spot on, because Bateman's watching the tape. He's watching the games. He's in practice, you know, watching, spectating. He gets to just go replicate, go read it the same way Sammy has. When you see cover three and this is your, you know, bevy of routes you can run, do the one Sammy did. If you get inside leverage on it against a two high, do what Sammy did. He's a smart receiver. That's why everybody always, you know, that's why he always has a place. So I think he definitely seamlessly stepped in. And that ties in another thing that I keep thinking of is like, so the Chargers, I mentioned Adderley and Tranquil, Mike Williams is banged up. Like the injury bug is catching up with the rest of the NFL, but the Ravens already had to go so deep and do so much due diligence as a front office and get guys integrated and up to speed. And then you go look and it's like guys like the entire running back room making plays, McCary's at right tackle, Villanueva's at left tackle. Like they've been there for a while now. They have a little bit of continuity at this point. So they've been able to do, they already went through all of that really early in the season. And that's also good for later in the year because they are deeper into examining free agents and trades and practice squad players than probably any other team in the NFL is because of how dire it was early. So when injuries do ultimately continue to pile up, they are more prepared. They are ready quicker, faster, have already talked to agents and shit. Like they've got contingency plans in place. So I'm not saying it's a good thing that those injuries happen, but there is a silver lining.
It feels like they've played 13 games already.
Like, I fully agree.
Yeah. And that seasoning really helps you. And the seasoning from before helps you where like, you know, they've been through all this shit. They've been through 3-4 years of playoff losses now with Lamar, and they've gone through all this crap and just the media ringer. And really, frankly, all just the bullshit, like all the stuff that you have to go through. And especially if you wind up on the wrong end of a lot of what people would call quote unquote big games, that really kind of tests your mettle. And it puts you in a spot where if you're going into a game like this, you're like, you know what? Like, fuck it. Like, it's a 1 p.m. game, and they're a really good team, and we're a really good team, and we're just going to go out there and let it rip. Justin Herbert hasn't been through that yet, and he's going to go through that, and he's going to be really good, and he might win MVPs and Super Bowls at some point, but he's not there in the same way that Lamar Jackson is there right now. So as much as people are ready to bury the guy in his playoff bona fides and his big game bona fides and all this stuff, they forget that 3 years relatively, like it is a long time, but it's also not really that long a time. You got to let a guy season himself a little bit sometimes before, you know, you're ready to write the book on him yet. And I think the book is still being written for Lamar Jackson. And at this point it's trending in a very positive direction. And a game like this is a big step towards that.
Certainly. And they did things well. They had good returns today. The Ravens relatively stayed okay with penalties. The Chargers didn't have a single first down converted by penalty, according to NFL GSIS, which is the game book. Third down, Chargers are 3 of 12, like 3.9 yards a play. And the Ravens are only at 4.8, but a lot of the second half skews that a little bit. But, I mean, the Chargers were going for it late. Classic game where, like, Brandon Staley's down 5 touchdowns with maybe 2 possessions left, trying to win one for the Gipper and keeping his starters on the field and stuff. But like that was one of the irritating things today was like, just end this game, dude. Like, can you just kneel the fucking ball and run? And like, you know, it was like John Harbaugh said a couple weeks ago, like, I don't know and there's nothing wrong with Staley. He's a nice guy. He has plenty of nice things to say. He's very smart.
Okay.
Good coach, whatever. Give him his flowers, blah, 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 blah. Like Harbaugh said, I don't know of any 16-point touchdown. That irritated me a little bit today. I was a little fussy too. I'm tired. I had a long day. So I was like, all right, brother, like kneel the fucking ball out. Take your starters out. Like, Jesus, you're a team that is competing for your division in the AFC. And you're like really still fighting with 3 minutes left down by 30. Like let's get out of here. And then the Chargers start trying to fight late at the end of the game. And like all this stuff, many beautiful chants come out. No, 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 no. Hey, goodbye. All that stuff. But that was my one. That was my I have to be a little bitch once a day, and that was my moment.
Don't we all? And listen, don't the Chargers, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about here. Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes you wonder, like, kind of makes you wonder what this team is, getting into the more meta discussion of it. Like, they've beaten the Chiefs, who were thought to be the class of the AFC. I think we can pretty comfortably say that they are not that now. I think that is clearly the Bills. The Chargers were thought to be class of the AFC going into this game, so does that make the Ravens by transitive property one of them? Possibly, considering they only have one loss. And one loss that could very easily be a win, but they have also plenty of wins that could be a loss. So it's a weird team. I don't think either of us are 100%, you know, bought into the idea that this team could go win a Super Bowl. But it's like I've been saying, it's just like each week.
They could.
100% they could. And like my thing with it is just like week to week, I am confident in this team. Why? Because they have Lamar Jackson, who is seasoned now. He has grit and grind, and he knows what the fuck it takes to win a game, as we keep seeing. And they have John Harbaugh, who has been around for 15 years and knows exactly what it takes to do that. And they have some veteran presence on this roster that they've needed in certain spots that they haven't had it, that knows how to do that. And when that veteran presence is out, for example, they have pedigree at those positions to replace it, a la Rashad Bateman coming in for Sammy Watkins and, you know, all that stuff. And somehow, by hook and by crook, this offensive line is playing okay. Like that.
Doing what they need to do.
That helps. Yeah, like that really helps a lot. And maybe Stanley will come back soon, and that would be a very big feather in their cap if he does. But right now, they're gritting it out, and they're doing it. And it almost feels like insulting to say that, because today they did way more than that. They absolutely clowned on a team, just dunked on a team that many people were picking to come into Baltimore and win today.
For sure. I mean, I didn't see a blowout coming at all. Like I said, I think just speed was a big disadvantage for the Chargers overall. And it was interesting. You know, there were some unsung heroes in this game, it felt like, for sure. Kevin Zeitler jumping on a football after Josh Oliver fumbles. Damn, one just slipped my mind. Anthony Averett played out of his mind today. I wouldn't even say he's an unsung hero, but there's just a lot of little things being done. Tristan Colon comes in when Bradley Bozeman's hurt. Felt like he didn't miss a beat. Was, you know, able to move some bodies in the run game. We'll go and see what the tape has to say about that. But it was a full team effort, most complete game they've played. They had some drives that were really impressive. A lot of throwing underneath. You know, Chargers are playing back, trying to prevent explosive plays in the pass game. And Lamar got pretty much everything he wanted to. He did turn the ball over twice. Did get sacked a couple times. Maybe a little too casual in the pocket. But for the most part, he got whatever he wanted. He did whatever he wanted.
He sure did. And, yeah, I mean, it's honestly, there's just not a lot to say. I think we've said pretty much all of it. And, yeah, just Ravens 5-1, Bengals coming to town. AFC is it's interesting, but it looks like they're pretty much in the mix with all these teams right now, and excited to see how it plays out. But obviously, the clock is reading 8:52 right now. Dude, what the fuck? Succession coming up in 8 minutes. So if you know you got
yeah, we're getting off and watching some Succession. Yeah,
you got anything? Go over to Nobu, get a couple bottles. Before I call Dad in, and you know we'll fucking talk about it. But you know, let's just go ahead and say what the fuck you need to say. The fuck, dude.
Yeah, yeah. That about does it for now. We'll get cracking at it. And you mentioned that Bengals game. That's gonna be a fun one. Bengals definitely the most fun team in the AFC North. And that rivalry has been the most lighthearted, I'd say, where it's like when the Bengals are good, it's kind of like, oh, they had Chad Johnson and some fun players.
I'm a Bengal fan, I'll say it.
Yeah. Considering the other teams in the division, the Bengals are definitely the least of the enemies, I'd say, over time. So, whatever. We don't need to have a 20-minute discourse because we easily could. But, yeah, exciting game. And we'll be cracking. The one thing I want to say before I get out, all shirts have shipped for up through, if you ordered through Saturday, they are all shipped. I did send out, I think, one or two emails to people. I had a couple color size issues. So check your email to make sure, but you should have a confirmation. If you gave your phone number, it should be a text message or a call or something. And then you should be getting some emails as well. So appreciate you guys. Definitely go check out merch, podcastbeatdownmerch.com. We're cooking. I'll get back in the lab, keep throwing some stuff up. Maybe we'll try and doing some stickers. We also have some little RFID wallets. Shout out Mike Reed in the making right now. So some little things like that. We appreciate you guys. Helps us get some good stuff out of here and keep this podcast going strong. We appreciate all you guys. Go hit us with some 5 stars. Hit us with some shares. Tell a friend, tell a buddy, tell a parent, tell a whoever. We appreciate you guys. And if anyone listening, a lot of people, I think you and I, Jake, a little bit, have kind of become some de facto maybe ambassadors or tour guides of where to stay, where to go, where to do in Baltimore. If you're ever visiting from out of town, you're not very familiar with the area, please do not hesitate to hit us up. I will tell you where to stay. We'll tell you the spots we like, what time of day things happen, you know, where to go, what hotels, blah, 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 all that good stuff. So always hit us in the DMs or mention us or whatever, and we'll get back to you guys. We appreciate you guys. We've had a lot of fun with our listeners. I love the comments that we saw in here tonight on the side. People just saying what's up to each other, all that good stuff. So we appreciate you guys. And get us out of here, Jakey boy.
Yeah, we do appreciate it. We really appreciate you guys engaging with us, letting us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, all that kind of stuff. It kind of keeps us going, lets us know we're not just shouting into the void, and it makes it a very collaborative process. We wouldn't be doing this without you guys, the great listeners of this show, and just really our friends that we enjoy interacting with. That's really why we do it. So that's tremendous. And yeah, if you got any questions, recommendations, anything that you need, obviously feel free to hit us up. If you're just going to be in the house on game day, hit us up too. We're obviously going to a lot of these games. You have season tickets. I have pretty consistently have an in that I can get in to attend pretty much all these games. So we'll be in the house. We'll be in the mix. So
shout out Eric Jacobs Real Estate.
Yeah.
Best realtor in the area.
He certainly is. Shout out Eric Jacobs Real Estate, Franklin Black Team. If you're looking for a house, hit him up. But yeah, 100%. Hit us up if you're there on game day and you want to shotgun a beer or something. We will certainly be doing that with you if you're into it. So, you know, maybe see you guys for the Bengals
game. My body's going to die by the end of October.
Do what?
My body is going to decompose by the end of October.
You're going to be fine. Pick it up. Pick yourself up by your
October's bootstraps. October's always my trying time.
That's fine.
Weather starts to change. We get a little frisky.
It's spooky season.
Like, I'm starting to have this situation going on.
100%. That's why I cut my beard. I'm growing it back during October. But it is spooky season, so let that reinvigorate you.
Spooktober.
It is, 100%. So with all that going on, like we've been saying, just hit us up. Keep interacting. Keep supporting the pod and all that stuff. We love you guys. We appreciate you all. And we love the Ravens, and they're loving us right back. With a 5-1 record, who the motherfuck would have thought that after all that had gone on in August? Not me. That's
Lamar Jackson has COVID. Like, that is such a thing of the past.
It is a thing of the past, and this is a goddamn good team. And they are battle-tested, and they're moving forward with or without the support of the rest of
the league. I love the way you say forward.
Forward. We appreciate you guys listening. We'll talk to you again later in the week.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Gourlami. Gourlami.
Arrivederci.
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 Arrivederci. Arrivederci.